This morning, our scripture reading is John chapter 6. We'll read verses 47 through 59. As we read this passage of scripture, we meet the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his wonder. Jesus tells us in this passage what the heart of the gospel is. So as we read it, keep in mind, what do you think the heart of the gospel is? I'm not going to answer the question right now. I want you to think about it. If you know Jesus, you should know that the answer to the question. Before we read the scripture, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your sovereign, almighty grace, that you loved us so much that you gave your Son on the cross of Calvary to wash away our sin so that we would be empowered in gratitude to live for the one who died for us. We pray that through this passage of Scripture and its preaching, that the glory of the cross will seize our hearts in a fresh way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks of my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. There is great power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us from the condemnation of sin and to bring us into a permanent, united, moment-by-moment relationship with God, a vital relationship with God in which he reigns and rules in our lives and leads us forward into a deeper, stronger feeding of faith on him. To some people, the blood of Christ is distasteful. And you will see, you'll find from time to time that people will say, "Well, Christianity is a bloody religion. That's repulsive." But I've been visiting in the hospitals for many years now. And from time to time, I will read a pamphlet that says, "Give someone the gift of life," urging people to give their blood. And anyone who has been through surgery and had a bag of blood slowly dripping into your veins realizes what a tremendous gift the healing, life-giving properties of blood are. Blood has a healing power, and medical science has only proven what the Bible tells us in Leviticus 17. The life of the flesh is in the blood. But above all things, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And so in this passage of scriptures, that's what Jesus is teaching, that the only and the greatest cure for sin is the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. That'll wake you up. So sing it and shout it from the rooftops. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Do you know many Christians today are failing in the Christian life? Are overcome with a sense of spiritual fatigue and failure. They're like the boy with his dog. You ever hear the story of the boy who had a little dog? The dog was a mutt. So somebody asked him, "What kind of dog is that?" He said, "It's a police dog." And the man said, "Well, it doesn't look like a police dog, doesn't act like a police dog, doesn't bark like a police dog." And the little boy said, "That's because he's in the Secret Service." There are a lot of believers in Christ who aren't acting like Christ, who aren't walking like Christ, who aren't talking like Christ. They're in the Secret Service. And it is looking at the cross of Christ in a fresh way and feeding on him by faith that is able in a new and fresh way to give us victory in the Christian life so that we have a growing, vital, forward-looking faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So how can we experience daily, moment by moment, feeding on Christ so that our lives are impactful for him? Number one, focus your faith on Jesus Christ who gave himself for you. Focus your faith on the sacred, sanctifying blood of Christ. What I mean by that is this. That while Jesus Christ was born with a body like yours and mine, a perfect body, and while he had physically blood like us, the blood of Jesus is different from any other person's blood who has ever been born because he is God in the flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary, and therefore we are told in Acts 20:28, Jesus Christ purchased the church, and it was the blood of God in Christ through which the church was purchased. In other words, the death of Christ is unlike any other death in that God is demonstrating his love in dying as a substitute for your sins and my sins on the cross of Calvary. Oh, what great love our God has for us. We know today the type of blood is often determined not by the mother, but by the father. That's why you can have paternity suits today to determine who the father was. Some people think, well, the blood interchanges with the blood of the baby, the mother's blood, but that's not true. The mother has one type of blood. Child may have another type of blood. But when we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in Acts 20:28, and I want you to turn there. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. It was the blood of God that was shed for you on the cross of Calvary. And that is why Jesus says, unless you spiritually eat my flesh and drink my blood by faith in me, you can have no eternal life. But if you have fed on Christ by faith in him, his sacred blood shed for you, not spilt, shed on the cross of Calvary, because shedding speaks of the covering of blood, then you have eternal life in you. And then I want to read Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 through 16. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh. Now, here's a wonderful statement. This is a great statement. How much more, how much infinitely more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know why we can have great assurance this morning if we have trusted in Christ, in his sacred shed blood to save us from our sin? If you have, you can be sure that because Jesus offered himself, not just in his body, but the eternal divine Spirit of God, that can never die. Jesus offered himself through the eternal Spirit so that he could drink and bear the infinite wrath of God against your sin to free you from it forever. That's why Jesus, in the last words on the cross, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sin is gone. I live in purity to serve the living God in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen. Amen. Bravo.
So when Jesus, turning back to John 6, verse 51, says these words, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for, literally, it's on behalf of the world. For, on behalf. because Jesus' blood was sanctified, because it was born of the Virgin Mary, because Jesus Christ shed his blood, and because of that, Jesus Christ's blood alone saves us from our sin. Jesus is referring the people back to the Passover, that great festival of Israel. And on that first Passover, the angel of death was sent by Almighty God and killed the firstborn of every Egyptian, including Pharaoh, so that God's people, so that Pharaoh's hand would be forced to release God's people to worship and serve him. And on that Passover, who was spared? The Israelites. Not because they were good. They were equal sinners. They had to kill a lamb, and they had to put its blood on the doorpost. And then they had to kill a Passover lamb and eat it. Why? They were identifying by faith with the sacrificial lamb God provided as a sacrifice for their sin. And that's what Jesus is getting at. Don't you understand, O people? Unless you spiritually eat of me by faith, because I am the fulfillment of the lamb in the Old Testament, you have no life in yourself. I am the lamb who is promised, who has come. I am the fulfillment of Passover, so that the judgment of eternal death will never fall on you. Dear, Jesus is offering himself once again to you. Today in his supper, Jesus Christ is saying to you, if you're a believer in Christ, you are welcome to partake of the Lord's Supper. I am giving myself to you in my saving death and resurrection. You need nourishment. You need hope. You need encouragement. You need wisdom. As you partake of my supper in faith, I will give you all that you need. And nothing less than you need. Because he is the Passover lamb sacrificed for us. But we must do that personally. And really, what do we mean by that? What is personally and really? When you take, if you're going to take bread to eat, no one else can eat it for you. You have to grab it or take it. You have to put it in your mouth. You have to chew it and you have to swallow it. And it is the same with faith in Christ. You must personally, by God's grace, take the bread, Jesus Christ, to your heart as you feed on him in the gospel, the good news, and you must trust Jesus Christ by personal faith and feed on him. And if you're a believer, this should happen daily. Every day, we need to be feeding on Jesus Christ. Our congregation will never be stronger than our personal relationship with Christ is for each of us. And the closer each of us is to Jesus Christ, the overflow of that will pour out to one another. We must feed on Jesus by faith daily through his word. Now, there's a second point here. Not only is Jesus Christ the focus of our faith to be that Jesus Christ gave himself for us, but Jesus Christ has given himself to you. If you look at verses 53 through 57, Jesus is emphasizing that the life of God is the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, that empowers us to feed daily on Christ by relying and trusting in him. The death of Christ is freely imparted to us, freely shared with us by the Holy Spirit, who creates faith in you, who strengthens faith, doesn't he? Who sustains faith so that he preserves us to the end until we have a safe delivery into heaven. Jesus says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will what? Be raised up on the last day. I can't wait for that day. The last day when Jesus returns, because physical death does not end eternal life. Aren't you able to praise God for that? Those who die in Christ live on in heaven. And when Jesus returns, they will be resurrected. And we will be with them forever and ever. Now, he lives in us, we are told in the passage. Just look at the passage. He lives in us, and we live in him. Remember what the Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1. We are partakers of the divine nature. This doesn't mean we're little gods. This means we're born again by the Holy Spirit so that we came to trust in Christ. We were spiritually enabled to trust in Christ. And therefore, we are united to Jesus Christ through faith in him. Why did many of these superficial disciples decide to leave Christ when he said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood? Because they were told throughout the Old Testament, you don't eat blood, flesh, you don't drink blood, because the gods of the other nations, that's how they worship their false gods. And we're told in the text, many of the people who were following Christ, only were following him because of the miracle of his feeding the thousands with the bread and fish, but they left. Many scattered because they said, we're out of here. We are done with you, Jesus. You're a cannibal. We don't eat flesh. We don't drink blood. But Jesus Christ was speaking spiritually. Jesus Christ was speaking powerfully of our need to rest and rely and trust in his sacrificial death, because he is Christ, not only for us, but to us. He indwells us through the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. There is a sense in which Jesus is to our spirits what blood is to our bodies. And I want to draw from a thought of Paul Brandt, the medical missionary doctor, who wrote a wonderful book, In His Image, in which he describes the wonders of blood. Have you ever thought about the fact you're sitting right now, that the blood in your body, your life physically, is totally dependent right now on the blood in your body? Your blood in your body and mine sends nourishment to every single cell and organ in your body. And Dr. Paul Brandt draws this image. Imagine that your body is like a pipeline. And this pipeline, let's say it goes throughout the world, every place, every city, every town, every hamlet, every village. It goes everywhere. It goes down every street, every alley, every passageway, in every continent, in every country, in every state, in every town. There's no place this pipeline does not go. And in this pipeline are small boats called red cells. And these red cells bring life to every part of your body. Everything your body needs is in those boats. All the sodium, potassium, magnesium, sugar, everything is in those boats. God made your body wonderfully. Think of it. All that you need to exist is in that blood. Unless, for some reason, there's physical illness or defect. The red cells go to every organ. God made you that way. But in a far greater way, God provided through the blood of Christ every single grace that you need to live the Christian life. Let me read 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. All that you need for life and godliness, God has provided. Just as He provided all you need for human existence in your blood, in a far greater way, God has done that through the sacrificial death and resurrection of Christ for you. It doesn't say you might have. It doesn't say, well, maybe. It says you have. Do you have all the faith you need? Do you have all the love you need to serve God and others? Do you have all the wisdom you need to make decisions that glorify God? Do you have all the strength you need in the midst of your weakness? God says, yes, but you have to appropriate it by yielding and obeying my word. That's what God said to Joshua in Joshua 1. Every place your foot treads, I've given to you, but you must meditate on my word and you must believe my promise for victory. God's provided it, but we must appropriate the power and grace of God by feeding on Jesus Christ by faith, by feeding on His word, by surrendering to God's word. Do you know there's also cleansing properties in your blood? And I won't get into that, but the same blood that provides nourishment is the same blood that carries toxics out of your body when you breathe out toxic air. And what does the Bible say? 1 John 1, 7, the blood of Christ cleanses you from all sin. Cleanses, present tense, of all sin. When you come to the table today, don't bring your past guilt into tomorrow. Today, trust Jesus Christ. Ask His cleansing of your sin, and He will give it and restore to you the joy of salvation. Feed on Christ. I want to close by reading Psalm 119, a few passages, verses. Debbie and I have been reading through Psalm 119, and it's an amazing chapter on God's word, organized by the Hebrew alphabet. I just want to read verse 50 and 54. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. You want life in affliction? Feed on the promise of God. 54, your statutes have been my songs in the house of my mourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord. And then one more, 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Want life and power? Focus your faith on Christ who gave himself for you. Focus your faith on Christ who has given himself to you. And focus your faith on Christ who lives inside of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you sent Jesus Christ into this world to save us from our sin. Lord God, we thank you that we are able to rest on Christ alone and not on ourselves. We ask, Lord, that you in a fresh way would show us the glory, the victory, the power of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior and Lord, as we partake of your supper. May we proclaim your death as our victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.